I had a message all prepared a week or two ago. And up until about 2 days ago, changed my heart. We're going to talk about grace. If you got your Bibles handy, turn into the Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. The message this morning, if you wanted to put a title to it, is called Grace Extended. Verse 7 says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Mm-hmm. Have you heard this verse before? Mm-hmm. Christ has given us, he has reached down to us in grace. While we were the unlovely, the unlovable, the scum of the earth, we talked about it in Sunday school, how wickedness our heart can be. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He extended that grace to us. So what are we supposed to do with this grace now that God has given it to us? Let's look again at 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Again, Paul is talking here. "To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there has given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me," and here is the point I wanted to make. Jesus said, no matter where you are in life, "My grace is sufficient for you." That same saving power, grace, that we received when we became Christians, when we accepted him into our heart. "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Unmerited favor of God toward us. Can we do anything at all to merit God's favor? If we work harder, if we pray harder, if we do more things for him, does that make any difference to him at all? Nothing. Because this grace reaches to the heart, the very heart inside. The heart that if we don't know him, we are blinded. We don't know the truth. But the truth will set us free. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, God's grace is revealed to us. The grace that was done for us happened a long time ago before the beginnings of the world. This was all part of the plan. But yet, grace is extended to us in such a way that it confronts our sin and demands a decision. There is a song which talks about broken people like me. Our church doors are hopefully open to anybody who would like to come in and seek the Lord. Those people who are searching for a home, a place to belong, a little peace, a little hope. Because of Christ, these doors still swing open. So when these people come in, and believe me, they could be people like me, people who are hurting, who need comfort, who need a home, who need people to encourage me, to lift me up when I am down. Not necessarily those on the street who don't know Christ. But because I am married, Martha knows the unlovable side of me. Surely none of you have that side of you either. But there's times when that light doesn't shine forth and near as much as I would like for it to be. And she's married to me. God only knows why sometimes. Because I can be pretty overbearing. Sometimes it's she says, "I'm married because I'm committed and I'm obedient." But she's a wonderful, wonderful wife. But Christ has done that for us. That relationship is there no matter what. He has extended that grace to us. So what are we going to do with this grace? Have you ever heard of a acrostic? It's a way that you can go ahead and remember what perhaps a word means. Mm-hmm. So grace, as far as acrostic, means grace. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. So when we read this verse about how Christ has gone ahead from the beginning of time and extended that to us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and the all-sufficiency of Christ, it's because of Jesus Christ Himself that we're here. There is a story that C.S. Lewis had, and this was some years ago, where he was invited to a conference. This conference was about different religions of the world, and they were talking about how Christianity was different than all these other religions. And it got to be a very, very heated debate. They wanted to know what was so unique about Christianity. C.S. Lewis walked into the room, and he was asked what all the ruckus was about. When he learned it was about the uniqueness of Christianity, he replied, "Oh, that's easy. What makes Christianity so unique? It's grace. It's grace." Joyce Meyer said, "Grace is the power of God made available to meet all of our needs. And that power is available to each one of us struggling with the issues of life, no matter what they might be. God's power is made available because His grace is sufficient." The grace that we're talking about this morning should be a foundational pillar in our lives, both as individuals and for the church. Without grace, we can't grow. Did you hear me? Without grace, we cannot grow. If all we're doing is having grace extended to us in such a way that we're Christians and we are content just to keep it to ourselves, we are not fulfilling the Great Commission. We are not extending the grace given to us. If we are receiving grace from God the Holy Father and Christ His Son, and we have the Holy Spirit within us, if we are not extending that to someone else, how are we doing the will of Christ? There are about five different points that I wanted to make this morning about the all-sufficiency of grace. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 2. "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be yours in abundance. I thought this thing was just one time. When we receive Christ, we get all of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Is that correct? What is this abundance of grace that we're talking about? Is there something about our Christian life that we are lacking? Is it something more that we don't have? Is there something that I don't know about? Perhaps it's something that we should learn about the Great Commission, about how to share what was given to us. Do you remember that day when we were saved? We couldn't wait to get it down to the altar. We couldn't wait to tell somebody about how Jesus Christ changed our lives. Amen. It was that important. And somehow the churches today are dying because nobody is expressing that grace to anybody else. So what's this abundance of grace that they're talking about here? How is it sufficient? C.H. Spurgeon wrote about this. He had a quote. He said, "When God forgives our sins, there's more forgiveness to follow. He justifies us in the righteousness of Christ, but there's more to follow. He adopts us into his family, but there's more to follow. He prepares us for heaven, but there's more to follow. He helps us to old age, but there's more to follow. Even when we arrive at those pearly gates in heaven, there will still be more to follow.
Amen.
That's the abundance of grace. It continues. It builds on each other. It's the sanctification process. It's just as if I have never seen. Yes, you were saved initially, and you received the entire sanctification, so he sees you with his eyes. As Christ sees you, you are made perfect. But as we are made perfect in that process where we learn, we make mistakes, we pray, we grow in the Lord, all of this grace that he continues all the time, which is to follow. He continues that grace upon us to the point where we should also let our light shine and be salt of the earth so that others might be able to see that and come to the same saving grace that we have. What about another grace? A sufficiency of grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul is talking here. Again, Paul is in prison at this time. Paul has been tortured. He had been persecuted. All manner of things. And here is what Paul is talking about as far as grace. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now, I want to read that one more time, because this is very, very important. Again, we're talking about grace extended, what we are supposed to do with this grace that we have. Here is somebody, he says, of the sinners, I am the worst. For this very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. I believe this is a message right here why Christians as individuals and why churches are not growing today. We are requiring them, before they can come into the sanctuary, to dress a certain way, to act a certain way, to behave a certain way. Heaven knows that if somebody was to come here and they smell bad, or whatever it might reason, or their lifestyle might be, oh my, that's not quite proper. That is not grace extended to them. We are not loving them beyond what they are. We're not condoning their sin or their sinful state. We are to be showing them love and grace. How much grace is extended when we rebuke them? When say, you have to act a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You can't have your hair color. You can't have tattoos. You can't have makeup. So on and so forth before you come into this congregation. And if I ever meet you on the street, I can't talk to you because you don't go to our church. And if you don't think that is happening, it has happened, and we have witnessed it ourselves. And that is a poor, sorry state of affairs.
Amen.
So how are we as Christians to extend this grace that we have found to other people who may not be lovely, who may be the ones who are looking, searching, don't even know what they're looking for, who are unlovely, ungodly? How do we show the grace to them? We all have family members who are not living a Christian life, who are not living a lifestyle that is moral, that is right, that is correct. In this entire nation, you see that all the time. There's a breakdown of moral society. That which is wrong is now right. That is right is now wrong. We are being attacked on every side. So how do we stand up, showing our grace that we have received to other people and not condemn them for where they are? Because what are we supposed to do in the Great Commission? We are supposed to lead them to Christ. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to enable them in their sin. We are not going to condemn them in their sin. But we are going to show them the love of Christ that was extended to us.
Amen.
There was a man years ago named David Wilkerson, and I still have his book, The Cross and the Switchblade.
Yeah.
I met Nicky Cruz. Mm-hmm. Years ago, there was a little coffee house down in Shelbyville. And it grew and it nurtured the young people. And we filled Shelbyville High School Stadium. Nicky Cruz was invited to come down, and he spoke and gave his testimony. And I remember reading that book before I ever met the man, that Nicky Cruz was the leader of one of New York City's worst gangs. Mm-hmm. He was raised by Satanistic parents who abused him severely. And he grew up wanting to hurt and inflict pain on others, the same pain that he had. Grace was extended to him in the form of David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson went to New York City. David Wilkerson was a street preacher. David Wilkerson confronted the gangs and Nicky Cruz. And after being spit upon, David Wilkerson continued to preach. And he was cursed at. And he was slugged. And he went down on his knees. And the Cross and the Switchblade said that Nicky Cruz always had that switchblade. And he said, you need to get out of here. And David Wilkerson, you can cut me up into 1,000 pieces. And I'd be laying in the street. But every one of those 1,000 pieces would still love you. Those words haunted Nicky Cruz. He couldn't get that out of his head. Weeks went by, and David Wilkerson continued to have his rallies in New York City. And one night, one by one, every one of the gang members, including Nicky Cruz, came and gave their life to Christ. Is that not love extended? And what are we doing with our love, with the grace that's been given to us? What testimony? What can we do? And it goes also in even the Apostle Paul. I am the chief sinners. And you know his story. He trapped, he killed, he tortured believers. And he thought he was doing right. But on the road to Damascus, he met the Master. He met Jesus Christ face to face. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And right there and then, he had a change of heart. Grace was extended to him. And here he preached all over the place. Yet he was persecuted, stoned, and everything else. And after he was stoned and persecuted and told not to come back, he came back and he went back. That's grace extended. The same thing that we're supposed to do. Take no thought for your life. Don't think about tomorrow. You can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. God's grace, number three, is sufficient in suffering. If you turn to 1 Peter 5:10, it talks about the suffering part. 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. We often use this as a benediction, but look at the points of this verse. God will restore. These people who are coming in that you are associated with, all of these people who are the most unlovely, ungodly people that you can even imagine. I am not called to go to the streets of New York City. I'm not called to go to some of these places that Paul went to. But where I have influence, I will be an ambassador for Christ. And when you do that, you can expect suffering. But wherever you are, no matter what you're going through, God can restore you. In verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand." You're not doing this on your own. Remember, you're living under grace. So you're not doing this by yourself. And then number 2 of that part of the verse, of verse 10. God will establish, He will establish your house, your heart on Him. Remember, you are not building a house on anything except the rock of Jesus Christ. So what better way to establish your heart than upon the rock of Jesus Christ than to go ahead and realize it right here that God is in control. And He will strengthen you. He will not put you into anything that you cannot handle. He's not going to say, "All right, I'm going to go ahead and send you to New York City, whether you like it or not." He's not going to do that unless He's enabling you to. You may fuss a little bit and kick against the goads a little bit, but He won't send you unless He prepares you. Again, the grace that's been extended to you, how are you going to extend that to others? How are you going to share the gospel? The grace of God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong. This little while is not forever. He's not talking about eternity. So we get a little discomforted. We get out of our comfort zone just a little bit. This isn't forever, people. Go talk to that person who is unlovely, ungodly, that person you don't think anybody deserves to go to heaven. That person is waiting for you. Nikki Cruz didn't know about it, but it was only because David Wilkerson heard the call for God to go there and witness that Nikki Cruz heard. The gospel is real, and He extended it to each and every one of us. There is somebody out there waiting for you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is sufficient in sin. Now, what do I mean by that? That's quite a statement. Look up Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20. "The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We cannot help from sinning. We are just mortal people. Correct? Mm-hmm. We keep falling off the rungs of the ladder. We keep thinking, as in the Old Testament, if we follow the law, if we keep doing this and this and doing all things right, we'll get up here. But you know what? You can't out-sin God's grace. Think about it. You cannot out-sin God's grace. The more you sin, the more He extends that grace to you. So when you think about that unlovely, ungodly person that you think no one would even go ahead, he wouldn't be welcomed in any stained glass building. He's waiting for you, and He's waiting for me. But I don't want to go talk to Him. I don't want their self. Self rears its ugly head. And we want to have a little bit of Jesus label and a whole lot of me. What should that be? We all really want it. We want a lot of God and so much less of me. Isn't that scriptural? What our heart desires to do, we can't do. So we need to have more grace. We need to ask for more grace so that we can let grace abound. But I could go on for hours and hours on the grace, the sin, the sanctification process. What we are supposed to do with this great gift that we have been given. The final point in the 5 points that I want to make here about the all-sufficiency of grace has to do with grace is sufficient in service. That, again, comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. If you got your Bibles handy there, again, look into 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did you get that? All? This is action. This is something that you're supposed to do, and He's going to reciprocate. No matter what great pressure you're under, there is grace that is sufficient. No matter how wealthy you are or lack of, don't have any goods, don't worry about it. His grace is sufficient. If you have great prosperity, great. His grace is sufficient. Are things difficult for you? I can't do that. I'm not fill in the blank. His grace is sufficient for you. When grace overflows to you, then excel. That's when you move. That's when things grow. That's when you grow. That's when the church grows. It's not so much that we have received grace ourselves. It's when we share it, when we get into the service of serving our Lord, when we have the right attitude, grace is sufficient. What is compassion? Compassion is reaching out. Horizontally, correct? Have you ever thought about love that goes upwards? That's adoration. Compassion and love that goes this way is also part of sharing the grace. But there's another kind of grace. There's another kind of compassion that God gave. And that's the kind that stoops low. We can do the superficial sometimes horizontal. But when you do the David Wilkerson stooping low, the compassion that does whatever it takes, the compassion that Paul had, no matter what, the persecution, no matter if you've been stoned, taking no thought of yourself, and going to the people that really, really need the gospel, no matter what, that's stooping low. There's a whole world out there is sinning and going to hell. And it's up to us to share the gospel. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. These people who are unlovely need forgiveness. And Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So as grace has been given to you, you must forgive those who have a different lifestyle, who have a different thought, because their eyes are blinded. They don't know the truth. But they're waiting for us. If you desire the peace of an unburdened heart, take the journey from forgive to forgiveness. And that's what they call extended grace.